Last week, we looked at John's description of Christ. And if you're with us in Sunday school, we were going over the theology proper, the doctrine of God, this morning. And, you know, I'm amazed, I shouldn't be, but amazed at how satisfying that is. I just enjoyed sitting in class and taking notes this morning and being reminded of the person of God. And John, in the first 14 verses of chapter 1, is reminding us of the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he is. And now he's moving in the latter part of that chapter to the recognition of Christ, which is really an interesting thing to see. Historically, we find here the first event of evangelism. And I think that we should learn some very important and foundational things about evangelism. And we're going to pull just three simple points out of our text this evening about not evangelistic method so much as evangelistic science. How is evangelism done? Not methodology, but the science and the power of it and what's going on. That's what we intend to look at. Let's pray before we do. Our fathers, we open your word together this evening. We pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us and instruct us in the way of truth. And Father, we are really interested in evangelism. We have friends and neighbors and family who are without the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would covet the opportunity to see them bow before Christ and be saved. And Lord, help us to understand the power and what it takes to bring people to Christ and how it is done. And understanding it, I am confident that we'll become far more active in prayer as we think about evangelism. So bless as we study tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First of all, I want to make this point that meeting Jesus is not a new or novel experience. Meeting Jesus is not a new or novel experience. It's not something new that happens. Join with me the 15th verse, and we're going to read through the 18th verse of John chapter 1. John bare witness of him. Now, you understand, the apostle John has just described Jesus. Now he's going to talk about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist did his, we'll call it, evangelistic work. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John had come and begun his ministry, and I'm not sure we know how long John ministered before Jesus presented himself as the Son of God and began his ministry. But there was a period of time, and John was well known throughout the area of Judea and even beyond, as he was out there in the wilderness. And he was preaching, and his message probably sounded a lot like an Old Testament prophet. As a matter of fact, when the Pharisees sent people to inquire of him, they asked him, "Who are you?" And the question was, "Are you Elijah, you know, or are you one of the prophets?" And he said, no, I'm just John. I'm the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after he had met the Lord himself, and we don't know how God communicated with John, but then we don't necessarily know just how God communicated with Isaiah, you know, or the other prophets. But John knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be coming, and he was preaching and preparing people for that. And it appears the Lord told him, now, as you go out and as you baptize people, when you baptize my son and see the Spirit of God descending upon him, that's my son. That's the evidence. That's the mark that he's my son. And after this event had occurred, that particular event is not recorded here in this gospel. After that event occurred, then John's message changed a little bit, and that's where we came to this 15th verse. John bare witness of him and said, cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake." So now he's saying, I told you about him coming, and now this is him. This is the one I told you was coming. And then he appeals to the eternity of Christ as being God. He said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And you know that in the chronology of the incarnation, that John the Baptist preceded Christ in birth by how long a time? 6 months. But he said, he that came after me was before me. And Jesus said something of the same character to the Pharisees that just irritated him. Before Abraham was, I am. And so that's who this is. And John makes this statement in the 16th verse, which is really interesting. He says, of his fullness have we all received. He is saying concerning this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the eternally existent one. There's just, and Pastor Weber made this statement this morning, there's just no way that we can understand God. You know, I seem to think that in my mind, I have the capacity to think on into the future with no end. You can kind of do that, can't you? Kind of think, okay, no end. But can you think back to no beginning? Hey, everything we know has a beginning. God is eternal. No beginning. Way back there. Before the earth was created, before the sun, moon, and the stars was created, God was very happy and contented and had his existence in whatever it is that God does. And then he created the heavens and the earth. And he created the fish and the animals and all of the biological things that we enjoy. And he created man. And John says, of his fullness have we all received. God has put us in a rich place. What a wonderful, rich country. Some of us just don't have, I don't think, the opportunity to experience that the way, for instance, that our farmers experience it. My lands. And Rainey, you would understand this, you know? You go out and you spread a bunch of dead seed in the field and you get water to it. And in a few months, it's just a waving, flowing crop that's just abundant. God does that for us. God put that into this earth. You know, when the pioneers and stuff came out, they just marveled. You read Lewis and Clark as they were coming up the Missouri River, and they saw endless herds of buffalo and that waving meadow grass. You know, some of those grasses were way up over their heads, just food abundant, and herds of buffalo, herds of elk, and a bunch of grizzly bears too, if you read about it, you know. And just abundance. What drew these pioneers out to the West? Riches. Abundant riches. And one of the first things that drew them out was furs. These fur trappers came out here, and these every one of these streams was full of beavers, you know. And the fellas back in England wanted beaver hats. And they just made thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars trapping out here in the West. And then when they ran out of things to trap and got most of those animals killed, they were getting a little sparse, then they began to realize there's grass all over here. And they started feeding cattle, and the cattle just thrived. My father-in-law always said that what do they call this grass that grows out here? Not the wheat. I mean the natural grass in the meadows and stuff. Bunch grass. He says that's richer than alfalfa. And you could fatten the cattle on it, and they would fatten up these cattle. And I'm reading about they were just making, folks, they were making millions of dollars back in those days. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. And John was bringing their attention to this. He said, this is the one. He is the one who created it. You guys, when you go out there and you take care of your vineyards, and when you harvest your barley, and when you pick all your olives, He's the one responsible for that. You know, those rains that come in the spring and water your fields so that your lambs can eat and your sheep can thrive? He's the one who does it. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Of His fullness have we all received. I think that there was a potent message in what John was saying, that those people who were closer to the ground had a, by closer to the ground, I mean closer to working the ground and that kind of stuff, had a greater appreciation for the fact that this is the God who's made our world so abundant. Boy, it's hard to make that step of faith to believe that this poor Judean man was God. And I shouldn't say was. This poor Judean man is God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, come back with me. Of His fullness have we all received. And grace for grace. I puzzled on that grace for grace. And I'll just give you what I think about that. And that is, if God gave us what we deserved, we'd all be dead, wouldn't we? If God issued out immediate justice, we'd all be dead. But God has given us grace so that we might avail of ourselves of His saving grace. And what a wonderful thing that is. I don't mean to pick on anybody, but, you know, I know the testimonies of some of you people here. And Gene, you just put it off a long time. And you just stretched God's grace way over here until finally that day in the chicken coop, you availed yourself of saving grace. You could have died any time before that in your youthful, foolish acts. But God in His grace extended your life to the point that you received His grace. And Richard, the same is true of you. What a gracious and wonderful God. What a privilege John had to point to the Redeemer and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What a wonderful thing that was. Now, I am saying to you that meeting Jesus was not a new experience. Why? Because they had already received the fullness of God. They'd already experienced that. They'd already experienced the grace of God. And here's the truth. If we would be honest, we know that. It was interesting this morning in Sunday school class, Pastor Weber read C.S. Lewis's testimony. What an interesting thing. C.S. Lewis knew there was a God, but he didn't want there to be one. And he was looking all over for arguments to prove to himself what he didn't believe. He knew there was a God. And God kept extending His grace to C.S. Lewis until C.S. Lewis finally welcomed His grace and welcomed Jesus Christ as His personal Savior. And this is what I mean when I'm saying to you that meeting Jesus is not a new or novel experience. These people had already been living under the grace of God and under the presence of God and knew Him well. And when John pointed to Jesus, those who were willing to believe and accept the reality of God saw in Jesus the character of the God they knew existed, of His fullness have we all received. Now in verse 18 it says, and we're going to have to quit with this, I didn't mean to spend this much time on this tonight, no man has seen God at any time. We've received of His fullness, but no man's seen Him at any time. The only begotten Son, and remember we talked about that last Sunday night, what the only begotten Son is. That's the incarnation. That's when God took upon Himself the form of man, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared. The word declare here means He's revealed Him. There is something here in the work of evangelism that we aren't going to understand. There is a working of God that tells the hungry soul that this one, Jesus, is the answer to your soul's need. And those of you who are saved will say to me, "Yes, Pastor, that's what happened to me. There was not an argument in my soul. There was just a recognition that Jesus was the provision of God." I don't think, folks, that in the area of evangelism, we need to argue with people. We just need to point them to Jesus. That's all we need to do. And God will bring conviction and understanding in their hearts. And as you look at John, John didn't argue or persuade anybody. He just said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we'll get into this next Sunday, not next Sunday night. Next Sunday is Pastor Weber's Sunday. But the Sunday night after that, we'll get into it. And it's fascinating to see these people accept Him. You're standing outside and you're saying, "Why are they doing this? What's happening here?" Oh, it's a wonderful story. Well, we'll get into that as we go on.